Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above.
We'll take that any day.
We're glad.
Let me get a hold of this young fellow here.
Verse 3, perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Let that be a lesson to you, brother.
While you're thinking about it, turn to number 411. 411. Let's do 1-2 chorus, 3-4 chorus.
Lonely so me, tempted and tried, we're all made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living. When death has come Cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it. All I admire.
Any selection?
5:12.
Let's do the verses, all three verses, and then the chorus. Let's see here. 5:12, that is what you said. Though it's only though, no matter how dark the night, or bitter the winds that blow, one touch of the Master's gentle hand, and I am ready to go.
Thank you.
174.
Though we so when peace like the river shall be sight, the cloud.
Say again?
562.
562.
When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When the life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Amen.
While the sweet communion Down there for everybody, and we'll just
clean
them up in their presence.
If the men show up, it's not a shower. If there's no men, it's a shower.
It's a shower. We have to bring some staff here till evening.
And then there's that. And also remind you the second Saturday in April, which it's sinking up on us quick.
Yeah,
it's easy. 10:30 a.m. Saturday morning. The 11th, second Saturday in April, will be our communion service. We'll be in prayer for that. Any other?
I believe it's on the 12th. I believe that's the 12th. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It'll be one of
them. Either or, the second Saturday, whichever one it falls on, 11th or 12th, be here on Saturday, no matter what the number is.
Yeah.
Any other announcements anyone knows of? Anywhere prayer request, recall Brother Bill Bush, and I know he won't stand this morning, so pray for him. I know he desires your prayers. Again, as always, if the Lord would take the man out of the way, that his word would be lifted up. Those that's requested an entrance in this little church of prayers in the past, we forget their name from time to time, but the Lord doesn't. Do continue to remember those. I will ask, I talked to him the day before yesterday, Matthew Stamey. He's still got a long way to go, but he's recovering well, indications and prognosis as well. He does have another surgery. In the morning at 10, they had a whole lot of extensive facial reconstruction, and they've got to go do it's minor compared to what he went through, but it's still a couple hours of surgery on the inside of his mouth to repair a piece of tissue. And he's still on a feeding tube, still swollen, but he's getting around, and he's, again, if you talk to the young man, he would, I'm sure he has dark moments, but he would bless you, and he would lift your spirits. It's an amazing thing. But do remember, continue to remember him as his companion, and his family also. They do travel, I don't know how often, but I'd say quite often, because right now he does spend most of his time in Nashville around Vanderbilt. So, again, continue to remember them. Any other requests on your hearts?
Passion unspoken, Brother Dan.
Do remember these. Remember this.
Continue the nursing homes.
Well, that was, I appreciate being able to be here this morning, be here tonight, and look forward to being here. And we got the praise, and I don't need to take Brother Bill's time. We have a lot of praise the Lord. He carried us through a lot in the last three or 4 years, and his victory is great.
Yes.
And he gave us state travels up here twice recently. We resolved some differences within our family, and we have moved up here close to our daughter, so thank you. Well, we can be here.
Any others? The nursing homes, continue to remember those. Any others?
Brother Dean Johnson is his condition going down pretty quick, and he's still able to sit up and communicate a little bit, but he's weak, really weak, and he's starting to experience some pretty serious pain. So, be in prayer for him and Sharon and all who suffer from that dreadful disease. It's terrible.
Do remember this. It's very good.
I have to have a mammogram soon, and I just pray that everything comes out well.
Let's remember this. I think I said Betty Jo a while ago, forgive me.
It's Tommy Joseph and Mary Joseph. Yeah. You can remember Mary Joseph, you can remember.
There you go. I don't know why I just gave that, but I don't think I heard her name.
She answered.
She did. Forgive me.
Oh. That's all
right.
I don't even remember.
Any others?
Continue Margaret Carter and
yes.
her family. And Sue Ladd and her family.
Yes.
And also
Michael
and his family. He did his treatments last week, so I don't know how many he'll have to go through, but he did.
30 something. I know it's early, but did he hold up okay after the first one?
I've not been that close in touch with him. I just kind of keep it up. Took a great time.
Right. Any others?
Pray for Kay. She travels from Middle Tennessee tomorrow, and I have some tests I'm going to have done next month.
Do you remember these, Kay? She, her first time solo, she drove to Mount Juliet to see Ken folks, so she made it safely on the way, so pray for her on the way back. Cease not to remember one another, pray one for another. We all stand in need.
Our military,
yes.
What we're going through right now,
yes.
soldiers that were lost.
For sure. Continue to remember the military and their families. Would there be others? If not, would you bow your head with me? Lord Jesus, we bow one more time before thy holy presence. Lord, we pray this morning that we would stand with you. Lord, that above all, that you would meet with us. Lord, we know that all we do here this morning, Lord, if you don't bless it, and if we're not blessed by your presence, Lord, it's all in vain, and there's no use in it, empty, Lord, and we don't want to just put on a show, Lord, and make folks, or even one another, Lord, give a false pretense that we're just going through the motions and that there's no meaning to it, Lord. But we just pray that you would ever impress upon us and in our hearts, Lord, that above all things, that we want to assemble ourselves together as you've commanded us to lift up thy high holy name, Lord, to praise you for who you are, Lord, and what you've done for your people.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray just now for these names that have been lifted up here this morning, Lord, both the names lifted or that was spoken this morning, those that were spoken in times past, Lord, again, as we say, we may forget, Lord, but we know that you don't. You're all-knowing, all-caring, all-loving, Lord, and we just pray that you see those according to thy righteous will, whatever that need may be, again, Lord, according to thy will, Lord, and if it's those things, and oftentimes it is, Lord, that we don't understand, Lord, that you would just bless us. With the grace, and that we just leave it in your hands, Lord, and say, your will be done. Lord, now, we pray just now again for Brother Bill as he comes this morning to preach thy word, that you bless him and give us a hearing ear, Lord, and Lord, we just pray that you forgive us of our exceeding sins, Lord, and when we fall by the way, Lord, that we might not stay there too long, but that you would lift us up and again set our feet on the right path. We pray these things in thy blessed name's sake. Amen. Amen. For just a few minutes, if you turn to 1 Peter, probably going to read, which is what I usually do, several verses of Scripture, and then, if I can find it, make just a couple of comments, and then I'll get out of the way. Again, so many times I just confess, I know what the brethren will say. I'll have a thought on my mind, but again, I'll confess, I never do due diligence. Maybe you never do. And trying to look into it a little bit, because I guess you can always look a little more. But I never feel like I have it all together. And I get scared in my mind and think about, I don't want to, again, even in the small capacity that I try to stand up here in, I don't want to rehearse nothing or I want to be spirit-led. And anyway, I fight that battle, and I know preachers do too. I know they do. But I know what they tell me. But I don't know how to deal with it. So you pray for me always. And again, it's not every Sunday morning that I get up here. I know I'm encouraged. And again, just pray for me that I would do what the Lord would have me to do. But in 1 Peter, I was reading here actually just this morning, and which is another thing. I read through the week, and so many times I don't feel like I have even just 2 or 3 minutes to say. And a lot of times what I read through on Sunday morning, maybe it's the last thing that's on my mind, and that's what I'm trying to make a couple of comments on, and that's what the way it was this morning. But I was reading 1 Peter, and then I've heard a little bit about this before, the difference in receiving and believing, and you know, they're not the same. So I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, and I'll stop there. And then, again, it's a hard place to stop, but that's where I'm going to stop, and I'll make just a couple of comments. Beginning in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath forgotten us again, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So, brothers and sisters, we can, and I find myself here more often than I'd like to admit, probably the majority of the time, we can believe in Jesus. We can believe in him. You know, when the Holy Ghost borns us again, we have nothing to do with that. The Lord, according to his grace and his mercy, chosen an enormous amount of people, and we have not one thing to do with that, but what we can do. Once he borns us again, we're alive. We are alive.
Yes.
But what we can do, and it's up to us to receive. Mm-hmm. We have to do the receiving. And, you know, as I was saying most of the time, I believe in Christ. I believe in Christ. But have I received him?
Yes.
Have I received him?
Yeah.
I believe the vast majority of the religious world, and I believe they do believe in Christ, the vast majority. But the evidence is, and again, I look in the mirror, I look at self, the evidence is that we've not received Christ. When we receive Christ, that's when we start producing fruit. That's when brothers and sisters show forth fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with the God, in the days to come, years to come, whether it be till our death or till he comes back, that daily, you know,
yes.
our pastor tells us often that each day is a henceforth. And we also hear very, very often, we need saving. We need saving every day. I need the Lord's salvation every day. But brothers and sisters, we need to receive the Lord
yes.
every day.
Yes.
And to receive the Lord, again, when we say we believe in Christ, we can say it. But when you receive it, that's something you do. You take hold of it.
Yeah.
You make it part of you. You know, it becomes an intimate part of you. And when that does, that's when things begin to flow out.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, like I said before, that's when the fruit begins to be manifest and produced. And, you know, sadly, when we look around, again, I'm not throwing rocks. I'm in front of the line. We look around, those that profess Christ, well, have where's the evidence that we've received Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be, again, as individuals. If we've done it as individuals, then Christ will be received into our assemblies, you know.
Yes.
We can, as a collective group, we can also reach out as a worshiping body.
Absolutely.
Grab a hold of Jesus and receive Him.
Absolutely.
And that makes our worship intimate, and it's not empty. It's full. So would the Lord help us to do that
yes.
in the years to come,
yeah.
days to come, months to come. Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
Thank you, brother.
That I appreciate always the things you have to bring to us. Not many more leads you in it, and it's things that we have need of. And he also, we sometimes receive evidence that the Lord is working in things sometimes if we're not sure that He is. Turn with me. If you turned away from her, Brother Dan, how'd you turn back? First Peter chapter 1. I had these thoughts on my mind for a few days anyhow. I was telling Brother Dennis this morning, she won't mind me saying this. Dana asked me, how was your method of studying? How do you study? And I said, well, it's a mystifying thing. It's just I get something on my mind and I start reading. You know. And sometimes I'll start looking up at word. And I think, well, I'll preach on that word. And then all of a sudden it's just I find myself somewhere where that word has led me again. And I try to follow the Lord's leadership. And if it stays on my mind, I think it's probably of Him. So we trust that it is this morning, if it be His will. I want to read the same passage of Scripture. It won't hurt us a bit to read it again, except I'm going to go down to verse 13 on it. Peter chapter 1. Pray for me, please. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, as I've tried to study over the years, I have many times I've lifted a passage of Scripture out and spoken about that particular passage of Scripture, which is fine. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll lift something out that needs to stay in there. It needs the context in order for us to be able to understand exactly what the Scripture is telling us. Sometimes we see words that sort of pique our interest, or words that sort of jump out at us, and we want to talk about those words or those phrases or those concepts, and they're good. But in many times, those things, again, need to stay within the confines of what the Scripture around it is telling us. Yes. Or we can't really understand what it's saying, not the truth of it. There's nothing wrong with the words if we do that, but or the concepts sometimes. But in order for us to understand what Brother Peter's saying here, we need to understand the context. Mm-hmm. So he tells us from the very beginning who he's writing to. He's not writing to the world in general.
No.
He's not, I'm going to say this, I believe this, he's not writing to the Gentiles. Brother Peter was the apostle to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's writing them, now let's stop there, because our mind might say, well then, no need for me to know what he said, because if he's writing to the Jews, well it is, there is a need for us to know what he said, because that not only does it help us to understand the whole concept of how God worked with a people in the earth and has goodness to them over the centuries before the coming of Jesus Christ, and what that foretold about the particular state that they were going to be in, but also, brothers and sisters, the fulfillment of those promises that he made to the Jewish people, to the children of Israel, and how that he fulfilled that in Christ. And in the fulfillment of that to them, he included then the Gentiles, yes, in that promise. And so it's important for us to understand these things when he says that. So he's writing to these strangers, and he reminds them, the Jewish people, that they were in fact elect, chosen of God. He says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, if we take that from a standpoint of eternal election, then it applies to us as well. And the concept of it applies, the basis, the foundational truth of it, the structure of it applies to us Gentiles as well. But let us understand why Brother Peter's saying this. He's saying it so that they might understand they were not chosen of God because of their goodness or who they were or what they'd done or who their fathers were or what their lineage was. Right. He was showing them the reason they were elect or chosen of God was because of what God did.
Yes.
And he gives the whole foundational principle, yes, of it. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That word according is a special word to me. It means exactly like.
Yes.
It puts the Templar on the whole thing, so that we might understand and know that everything that God did was in exact agreement with His perfect will and purpose in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So elect, he says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit. Notice we're not in there yet. We've done nothing yet. The Jews have done nothing. They've done nothing to deserve this. They've done nothing to be honored by it in terms of what they thought they, who they were, and what they'd done. And then he says, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we might say, well, there it is. There's where our obedience comes in. No. This is not our obedience that's being talked about here, brothers and sisters. This is the obedience of Christ to the will of the Father in perfecting the eternal salvation of His people in the redemption through His blood. And so that's what He says, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now, you can take that one. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Because that grace has come to us and it brings us the peace that we have, the peace that was made not by what we did, but by what Christ did, who hath reconciled us unto God and brought us into that place where that we now can feel His presence, we can feel His love and His mercy that's extended toward us, not purely on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so he goes on then. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's now left the foundational principles of the sovereign grace of God in choosing a people. Both, I'm going to say this, brothers and sisters, to the Jews, there was a... Stay with me on this. There was a double election.
Mm-hmm.
One was eternal and heavenly
yes.
to His people among the children of Israel, and one was to the nation of Israel concerning their place in the earth as a people,
yes.
the only people on the earth who God shed down His love and mercy upon in such a visible fashion that they were the evidence and the witness of God dealing with the people.
Yes.
That was their election. They were chosen to that. Through Abraham, through Isaac, and through Jacob. They were chosen to it. That has nothing to do with them going to heaven's immortal glory. It had everything to do with them being favored of God to know the one true and the living God as they walked here on this earth. And to have the evidence of that. And so he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. So, if you listen, that word begotten has nothing to do with the natural siring of a child. It has to do with bringing forth.
Right.
God brought forth Israel from the very beginning. He brought them forth to types and figures and shadows that portended of the Christ that was to come. It was a focusing, I believe it was a focusing down to something concrete of the promise that was made all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, of the coming of the Christ, the one who would crush the head of the serpent, and so forth, brothers and sisters, and so that was known by faith by God's people down through every generation up until Abraham. But it was particularly known and understood by Abraham, especially we'll start there, because God, and I'm going to use the word focused again, God focused that promise on a particular person.
Yes.
No longer was it just a concept. That there would be a deliverer. Now the promise began to be focused in. There's going to be a person. And that person, and I'm using that on purpose, that person, brothers and sisters, would come as a man.
Mm-hmm.
He would come in a natural sense. He would come from the seed of Abraham. He was the seed of Abraham that was being talked about there. And that promise was made true to Abraham in his heart and his mind. He believed, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness.
Amen.
Same with Isaac. In Isaac shall thy people be called. And so there, that promise continued down through that line. And then to Jacob. And I'm not going to go into the choosing of Jacob. That's another sermon entirely. But he did choose Jacob to be the one through whom the natural line would continue. Not necessarily the spiritual line, but the natural line. Uh-huh. There was a spiritual aspect to it. But brothers and sisters, listen. If we just say that spiritual line was just to Jacob, then we're going to cut out the promise that was made even from the time of Noah about the Gentiles being brought in.
Uh-huh.
And that's, again, that's another sermon. But the physical part of it was that off that line was going to come the man,
yes,
who would fulfill the promise that was made that a Redeemer would come. Now, I don't know if they understood all that or not. If I get there, we're going to talk about the prophets who knew something.
Uh-huh.
They knew something, yeah, by faith. They knew something. They saw something.
Yes.
They felt something. They experienced something. They weren't just men who got out and all of a sudden the Spirit just overwhelmed them. They didn't know what they were saying or didn't have any understanding of it. You know, sometimes people get that viewpoint, I think, about the Spirit moving us, and He just comes all of a sudden and He just overwhelms us and we do things we don't even know what we're doing. That's ridiculous. God uses our intellect. God uses our understanding. God uses our purpose toward Him. And He then shows us, brothers and sisters, His blessings and His love toward us.
Yes.
Same way with the prophets. I'll get there the Lord will. But when it says He hath begotten us again, that implies there was another beginning first. That was not a spiritual beginning. It was a natural beginning.
Yes.
Now, there was a spiritual aspect to it, I believe, and I've tried to say this over the years, but I believe that though the law had to do, portended and had to do with death entirely, it was a reminder of death, it was a reminder of sin, and all those sacrifices. But I am convinced in my heart that when those sincere little children of God in Israel brought their little sacrifice and down to the tabernacle and then to the temple, there were those, at least some, who had a tender heart toward God. They had an understanding that they might have not have understood the physics of it. They might not understand even the spiritual aspects of what they were doing. But they had an understanding that God had said there must be a shedding of blood. And they were bringing their sacrifices. And in that shedding of blood, there was an understanding that sin at least was covered for a time. Just for a time. Because they had to bring it again and again and again. But I believe that when they brought it, their hearts, some of them at least, their hearts were tender toward God.
Yes.
Their hearts were rejoicing that God had given them this aspect. So He begot them to the understanding that He was with them, that He was their God. But it was in figures and types and shadows that they could not particularly understand. So Brother Peter is reminding these dear people here that has gone, or is going, by the wayside.
Yeah.
And that God did beget us to that, but now He hath begotten us again.
Uh-huh.
Not to a renewal of that system, but unto a lively hope. The other system was unto death.
Yes.
And it was an understanding of escape from death, or at least forbearance through death. But this now, though there's going to be death involved, Brother Peter does not talk about the death of Jesus in this particular aspect. Mm-hmm. He talks about the resurrection of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he says He's begotten us again into a lively hope. This is not one based on dead things. It's one based on life and the giving of life and the joy of life and the things that God has given unto us through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And He's given us the proof of it, not by seeing a little animal shed its blood and then seeing that little animal burned up upon the altar or sacrificed and consumed, however it may be, but in fact by the living Christ, who came forth from that state of death after He had paid the price of our redemption. And that lively hope, brothers and sisters, is the same hope that you and I have. We can come in here now.
Yeah.
We come right in here.
Yeah.
We don't have to stay out now. We come right on in, because that same lively hope has been given to us that we might know and understand that Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. And He performed that which was required of the Father to take away the sin debt. And that debt is no longer there. You and I don't owe a sin debt to God.
No.
It's been paid.
Yes.
It's been striked out. That's not a good word, but anyhow, it's been struck out. It's been struck out because that Jesus Christ has paid that particular debt. Now, he goes on, he's talking again, now continuing, about concepts, brothers and sisters, that the children of Israel, I believe, understand and know. That understanding is to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The promise that was made to Abraham was a spiritual promise.
Mm-hmm.
But it also had physical concepts embedded in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been misunderstood, I believe, because the promise was to Abraham, your seed will inherit the land that I told you would inherit. Now, brothers and sisters, I'll say this. I love my granddaddy Taylor. I still see him. Big tears come to his eyes. He'd sing, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions fly." Now, he was talking about heaven. But brothers and sisters, Canaan was never a figure of heaven.
No.
Canaan was a figure of heaven on earth, could be.
Yes.
Canaan was a figure, I believe, of the spiritual blessings that God's people could understand and know of what He'd given to us to live in here in this earth. What do we live in? We live in a lively hope.
Yes.
We live in the love and understanding that God has given to us and what He's done for us. And it had nothing to do, though there was a physical aspect to it for them, because if He'd said that He would do these things for them, there was also promises that if you don't keep what I've told you to keep, I'll spew you out of the land, which He did.
Mm-hmm.
But the spiritual aspect of that was God gave them a place that should have been a place of peace and comfort to them, a place of at least semi-permanence to them, that they were no more strangers and wanderers in the earth. Why is Brother Peter talking to the strangers? Because this was the diaspora, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that word right, those that had been scattered abroad of the children of Israel throughout all these lands that he's talking about. They've been scattered abroad. Now, whether that was when, there was a scattering abroad when, in the days of after that the killing of, oh brothers, it's bad to get old and you used to be able to think of things you need to think of. I can't think of the man's name that was there. Stephen. I've got a brother named Stephen. I should have understood that upon the killing of Stephen there in the New Testament age, in the new, starting the New Testament church. There was Stephen that was killed, and there was such a persecution of the children of Israel at that particular time in Jerusalem that though they wanted to stay, they couldn't stay. So they were scattered abroad through the various parts. So that's one scattering. There's more to it than that, because various ones who had come in and had taken over the various lands of Israel, had in the northern kingdoms especially, there had been a complete, almost emptying of the Jewish people out of that. They were spread to the lands of their captors, and other people brought in. That's why the Jews hated the Samaritans so much, because they considered them to be at best half-breeds. Not really Jews in the perfection of it. So this scattering abroad that was given there, they had lost that physical inheritance that was promised to Abraham. So I think this is one reason why that Brother Peter is telling them, you've got a better inheritance.
Yeah.
It's an inheritance that has nothing to do with a piece of land. It's an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, I'm not sure that's eternal heaven he's talking about. I believe there is there is laid up for us, so to speak, in heaven's glory, the promise that we'll be with Him. But I'm not sure that's what Peter's talking about here. I think he's talking about sitting together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Rejoicing in the promises that He's given to us. Rejoicing in the position that He's put us in as those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, as those who have been brought to the understanding that we have peace with God and that we can follow after those things, brothers and sisters, in a way that we may still be persecuted by the physical aspects of this old world that we live in. We may be under a terrible burden of persecution or poverty or sickness or whatever it may be, but still that spiritual blessing that's been that is our inheritance has been reserved in heaven for us. And he says, who are kept, verse 5, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Ready to be revealed. Wait a minute. I have a brother. He got a little bit upset with me, I think. He wanted to argue that the perfection of the New Testament church, the full perfection of the New Testament church, came right at the day of Pentecost and immediately after. But brothers and sisters, that can't be. Yes, it was the church. Yes, there was a glorious gift to those dear people who were brought into that understanding and that knowledge. But there were still things surrounding them which I believe were going to go away. They were, the apostolic age was a particular age that was given for the transition from the law service system into grace, the fullness of grace.
Amen.
And so that law service system was still in effect. They were still going to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
The temple still stood. The law service was still going on every day. You know, I can argue, say, well, it didn't mean anything because of this, that, and the other. There's no need for us to go there. God left it there for a time, for a reason. You know, I bet you there's not one of us in here that likes any kind of radical change. I mean radical change. And some of us have been through some radical changes. But we get through it. And we thank God that He's brought us through it. But if you say you like it, I need to talk to you. I need to find out what your secret is. Well, I don't like radical change. And God knows who we are. He was not bringing a radical change. It was a big change, all right. But He didn't just say, temple, gone. No more of this. You know, most of those people had to make that transition in their minds because they had been brought up. It was their heritage for thousands of years that this was the system. There was a lot of confusion that stayed on after that. I'm still revealed to be ready to be revealed in the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Because most, I believe, many people, we'll take that right into the second, what they call the second coming of Christ, and nothing's really going to be revealed under them. Okay, I'll give you part of that, but I don't think that's what Brother Peter's talking about. He's talking about there's going to come the end of that transition period, and when the end of that transition period comes, you're going to see the fullness of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there are dear folks, I believe, who think that, well, that can't be because those people are still meeting in homes and they didn't have church buildings and they didn't have this. And brothers and sisters, listen to me. You know what one of the first things was that, I want to use the word, attracted me to the simplicity of the worship service pattern that we hold to right now? It's that I don't want to lose this building, but if we did, you know what we could do? We could meet out under a tree somewhere.
Amen.
We'd still sing. We'd
That's
still
right.
pray. We'd still preach.
That's right.
I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for what the Lord has given us. But it's not necessary for a worship service. It's good. Sometimes it gets in the way, though, quite frankly. Sometimes it can get in the way, but I shouldn't put it that way. So, anyhow, So, the proof, I believe, and there's probably more than one proof, Brother Paul brought out to the Corinthian, dear Corinthian people, because they loved the apostolic age. They loved it. Uh-huh. You know why they loved it? Because they were given particular signs, speaking in tongues, witnessing, prophesying. They were given all of those things in a great, powerful way. And there's no doubt in my mind, they would like to have stayed right there. But that's why Brother Paul in the 1 Corinthians letter chapter 13 says this, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, agape love, pure love that can only come from God, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. There's many folks that I believe need to reread this passage of Scripture.
Yes.
Because they're caught up in the gifts that God has given to us. Maybe even in the old Baptist church. I'm not going to go there, but I'm just telling you. There's some folks who can pound the desk about the doctrine, and I wonder sometimes if they have any charity in their heart toward God's dear people. And I'll just leave that right there. And though I bestow all goods, my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now listen, here's his foretelling of that thing going away. That apostolic age of gifts and miracles and prophecies going away. Now, you know, there's some folks that say, well, we're no better for it. Oh my, we're much better for it.
Yes.
We're much better for it. Here, listen to what he says. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, it hadn't yet, but he's saying it will. It will. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come. Now, listen, I'm still talking about the New Testament church.
Uh-huh.
Bear with me. It was not perfect yet in terms of where it was going to be. That means fully mature, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
That doesn't mean without fault. It is without fault. But that's not what that means. It means fully mature. You and I believe that when we can grasp these things, that we are in the fully mature age of the New Testament church. Mm-hmm. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known, and now abideth. Here is the perfection of the New Testament age.
Yes.
Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, and it is. So Brother Peter is saying this to the Lord's people, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, deliverance, deliverance, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, some modern-day folks say, well, we're not in the last time yet.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Yes, we are. You know, I love when Scripture proves Scripture. Brother John said this. 1 John chapter 2, And I'm going to start at verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That word world does not mean this terraqueous globe, as Brother Wilson Thompson called it. Does not mean this terraqueous globe. It does not also mean the physical world in which we live, or the societal world in which we live, but it means the world where they thought that they were still in that age where God still required them certain sacrifices and so forth. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Does that mean God does not love them? No, it means that they're not in a fully mature understanding of the love of the Father.
Exactly.
And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. It is the last. That's pretty definitive, isn't it? It is the last time. In other words, once in a while, I've told y'all this before. I love the dear brother, but this is years ago. He was so enthusiastic. He said, I just believe there's things that God hadn't revealed to us yet. I just think that there's scripture maybe that he hadn't. I said, no, brother, don't. Listen, I don't know whether he meant this silly book of Enoch, that something were so wrapped up in that. I don't think. I've never read the thing. I'm going to tell you the truth. I have never read those middle parts in the original King James Bible. What is the name of that thing?
The
Apocrypha. I've not read it. It might be interesting. But I don't want my mind to go there. I'm just being honest with you. You say, well, you're just not being open. That's right.
That's right.
I like to close my mind sometimes. We need to close our minds sometimes to those things which God has not said. This is divine.
Right.
And we need to do that. So that's what Brother John's saying. Close your mind to those things. You've heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last times. Anything that is against the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice and His resurrection and the fullness of His salvation is Antichrist. Don't look for a man. There's people right now, I guarantee you, there's people writing books right now because there's a war going on up here in the Middle East and all of this. Here, let me get this book out here so I can make a little money on this book. Sorry, but that's the way I think about it. Sisters, it has been the last time since the advent of Jesus Christ, our Lord, upon this earth. We're in the last time. Brother Daniel was given the truth of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was shown some things that would have just been absolutely earth-shattering if he could have just gotten them out. But what did the Lord tell him? Shut it up. Don't open this. Shut the book. For the time of the end is not yet. When was the time of the end? Brother Paul tells us in the Galatians letter, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made after the law, to redeem them that were under the law. So there is the last time when the transition period, I think I'm all right calling it that, of the apostolic age was going to pass away. Then there were things waiting to be revealed. And again, those things were the remainder of faith, love, and charity. And so he goes on. Let me see where I am here. All right. Brother Dan got us here. Now listen to the verse 7, 8, and 9 real quick. That the trial of your faith, it's in that you're rejoicing, though now for a season, if need be, you're going through your inheritance through manifold trials. That's what this means, mm-hmm. trials.
Mm-hmm.
They were being tried, brothers and sisters. not tried to see if there was any failure in them, but tried to show that there was gold in there.
Yes.
There was goodness, there was gold going to come forth from this thing. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Again, there's a tendency to jump to the end of the time, end of the world, so to speak, that people think is the end of the world. And that's the only end of the world they understand. And but I don't believe Brother Peter's talking about this. Yeah, there's so much. If you will allow me, I'm going to tell you that I believe that when Brother John saw on the Isle of Patmos, he saw a new heaven and new earth. He saw the bride of Christ coming down from heaven unto God, and not to sit on the earth, but to come down and be that heavenly place, that heavenly place of truth and comfort, not of types and of shadows, but of truth and of the true figure of Christ and His finished work and His sacrifice and His resurrection. Brothers and sisters, there he comes to the end of that and begins to describe it. And I understand, you'll just have to bear with me if you don't see it this way. I do not believe that chapter 22 is describing eternal heaven. I believe it's describing that heavenly existence that we can have together with Him. Yes. And that heavenly existence, there's all kinds of things there. He's the light thereof, and there's no need for the sun or the moon, and all those things has not to do with heaven's immortal glory, but with the understanding, the truth, true understanding that there's coming that which is much better for the children of God, and that's why it comes to the end of it, says the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come."
Yes.
Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, I understand good and honest and faithful people are every day, no doubt, praying for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ so that this old terrible world will be over with. And I wouldn't rob them of that for anything, except I'd like for them to see that there's a better hope, that they can have hope of that which is given to us here. We live in this earth, that we can feel and we can know and we can understand. We can truly live here. Jesus said, talking about lively hope again, Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life."
Uh-huh.
He didn't say that they might die and go to heaven. He did come. He did take care of that. But He said, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Not death. They've had that. They've had all of that. And you know, they stayed in their tents, as our pastors preached to us before. But He said, "I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." So it says, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." He's now equating them with another group of people. He's going to get to them in a minute. You bear with me now, I will too, Lord willing. Receiving the end of your faith. What's the end of your faith? That doesn't mean there's no more of it. That means the target, the goal, the ultimate thing that is way out there waiting for you, the ultimate end of that, the end of your faith. Even, he says, the salvation of your souls. These were people that were born again. There's no doubt in my mind. I was written to a people born again. So he's not talking about them being born again here. He's talking about the deliverance of their souls away from those requirements that others had laid on them, they'd laid on themselves, and brought over in now to this grace of God that's been given to us, and that we can now approach under the throne of grace. And I tried to preach one time not a few years back. I believe that throne of grace, brothers and sisters, is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the fullness of who He is as our mediator.
Yes.
That's the throne of grace that we can approach unto. That we have a place to go. We have one whom we can appeal to, one whom we can go to, one whom we can talk to. And oh, the fullness of what He's done for us is so far past our understanding from a human standpoint, and yet He lets us see it from time to time. He lets us feel it. He lets us feel the spirit of it, brothers and sisters, of what God has done for us in our existence here in this life. I said, and when I finally came to this understanding, it concerned me just a little bit as a young believer. And I'll tell you what the understanding was again. I thought, well, what's the point in preaching if we've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? His eternal salvation is all His work, and none of us, He could do that in a corner and we never know about it, and all of a sudden we're going to wake up in heaven one day, which is exactly right. Except He didn't. He didn't. In His grace and in His mercy, He showered down the knowledge of His love upon us. As we walk here, the little mortal children of God here upon this earth, we can rejoice. We can feel His presence. We can know and understand at least in a limited fashion what He's done for us. And we can know it based upon what we need to do, what we have to do, how we have to live, or He's going to cast us away. No, we have received the deliverance of our souls.
Yes.
In that we see Jesus.
Amen.
We see Jesus. Of which salvation, I'll finish this up. He's going to bring the blessed prophets into this thing. I used to think, you know, those prophets, they might not even know what they were saying. Yes, they did. Yeah. I was wrong. Brother Peter tells us. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Listen, they understood something better was coming. They hadn't seen it yet. They saw it by faith. But they were not brought into the fullness of it because Christ had not come yet. They had a promise, and they saw the promise, and they rejoiced in the promise. The prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The grace, what a wonderful thing that is. Don't get too lifted up in it, but searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them. There's your answer. There was my answer. Yes, the Spirit of Christ was in them.
Mm-hmm.
He was in them. He was in them. He was showing them. He was leading them in their thoughts and in their manners and in their understanding to whatever extent they could be led, brothers and sisters, according to the time in which they lived. Searching what matter of time the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify when it testified beforehand, listen to this, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now recorded unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Let me speak for just a moment. I read one commentary that said the Jews, and they still, I believe, still hold to this, they believed in a Messiah. But they believed in a Messiah who was going to come in great grandeur and power and overcome all of the enemies of Israel that were there. But the prophets prophesied of one who was going to come and suffer.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want a suffering Savior. They didn't want one. They wanted a triumphant Savior, but they wanted Him triumphant on their terms.
Mm-hmm.
He is a triumphant Savior, but He had to suffer first. Now, I'll give you the proof of that. Some of you already know where I'm going. After Jesus had risen from the dead, there were still those among the disciples who were still saying, well, He failed us.
Yeah.
We thought He was going to come in this way, and they took Him and beat Him, and we saw Him. It was awful. It was, in Luke 24, Verse 21. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. They did trust that it was Him. the way he was going to redeem Israel was in their own mind and the way they wanted. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. That should have flipped off something in their heads, but they weren't there yet. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. I'm not sure yet, they didn't have an understanding of that. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said, Jesus, the risen Lord, said, O fools and slow of heart to believe, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Brothers and sisters, I believe I'm all right saying this. He could not enter into his glory until he had suffered. He had to suffer. And the reason he had to suffer was so that we would not have to suffer in the same way. He suffered for us. In our, as the old brethren used to say, in our room instead. He suffered for us. He suffered in a way that you and I'm going to tell you something. I have suffered for my sins before. But listen to me. What I suffered was the consequences of my sins. The result of my sins. I suffered because of that. I didn't suffer because that I was a inglorious offense against the risen God. I didn't suffer because of that. But he suffered because that perfect soul, which knew no sin, had never committed sin, brothers and sisters, suffered our sins laid upon him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you and I today have been given not certain things we have to do and go through and say, but we have been given the freedom to worship the risen Christ.
Yes.
Because we have an understanding by the Spirit of what he's done for us and what it means to us, and that we can walk and we can live here as we walk in this earth today. We can live unto him. We can walk in the path that he's given us to walk in such a way that we show forth his praise and his honor and his glory. And then one day we'll live in heaven's glory with him.
Yes.
May the Lord bless you with these things is my prayer for Christ's sake. And I believe that he's given us such wondrous things. I didn't even touch. I want to talk about the glory. I didn't get there. That glory is so great, brothers and sisters. That glory of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. That glory that Jesus himself ascended back to. May I take just another minute? Listen. If we get it in our mind that there's some place, some exact location, that Jesus is now in a chair at the right hand of the majesty on high, we're limiting far, far, far more than we should. That being seated means he's established in authority and power. He's in the seat of authority. He's in the very foundation of it. And so as that, brothers and sisters, he now is making intercession for us, not based on what he says or what he does, or does he get up off the chair and go talk to his father? Let's please don't go there in your mind.
No.
That power and authority he is seated in is his finished work.
Amen.
And he doesn't have to say a word. Because it stands. It stands as the finished will of God for the salvation of his people. Let's enjoy the salvation and time that he's given to us here in this earth. My prayer for Christ Jesus. Thank you for your kind attention and prayers. Stand sane now.
Number 436. 436.
Majestic sweetness sits enthroned upon the sand.
Brother Tommy and Sister Mary Jo have expressed a desire to come home. Remove their letter back with us. I don't think there's any need in asking, but I'm going to ask the pleasure of the church. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Raise your hand.
Aye.
So we'll get Sister Darlene, our clerk, so we can get with her and get addresses. And we're happy. We're happy.